Follow, please, and go with me to Luke chapter 2. A lot of things have happened in Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Things are culminating. Things are starting up. I was listening to someone the other day said that they believe that Jesus Christ was born in a manger, but he only stayed there one day because there had to be mothers out there and fathers that certainly want to make sure that he was not in a manger. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. Interesting. I would hope that we had enough mercy out there to be willing to help other people during that time of the crisis of life. Few of us have given concern about the life of Jesus Christ. A lot of times people just don't even see very many details of it before his public ministry. Luke, he tells about the birth of Jesus Christ and there in the manger. His first visitors were the shepherds of the Judean fields. The circumstances that surrounded them after the Bible said at 8 day he was circumcised, brought to the temple. And then his mother sacrificed two turtle doves and shed the blood for her and his atonement. Someone said, don't feel sorry for Mary, who was unable to give a lamb for the sacrifice because she was so poor and could only afford turtle doves. Remember that she brought the true Lamb of God to be offered. Amen. And we are so thankful for that. To give you a little insight on the custom of the Jews, we find the rite of circumcision was given by Abraham to be a sign of the Jewish nation. It was a place of being set apart. Everybody else was not circumcised, only the Jewish men. And it was performed 8 days after the birth. And Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1 through 8 tells us about that. And we find the law was given for birth. Interesting that a mother of a male child, also she remained unclean for 7 days. And that is why in Luke chapter 2, verse 21, they took Jesus to took him to be circumcised on the eighth day. And the Jewish custom says that the woman was still unclean for 33 more days, which takes a total of 40 days of her uncleanness. And she was forbidden to touch anything that was hallowed in the temple. And that was set aside, sanctified to holy work. That made the Christ child 40 days old. And if he was a male, if the maid child was born, the mother was unclean for 14 days, then 66 days, total of 80 days unclean. You may ask, what's this fuss about? Well, the Old Testament was given us for an example, amen. All the things that we have in the Old Testament has given us Christians for an example to teach us something, give us illustrations. Many of the reasons that God made these laws given to us so that we would be able to see Jesus and see God's love for his creation. Many were lessons and illustrations. They were signs of things that had happened, things that were going to happen, and things that were happening at that time, and things that are going to happen. The special reason for the sign of uncleanness is a perpetual reminder that mankind is a sinner. Reminds us clear back to Genesis where Eve took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, don't eat of that. You eat of that, you'll truly die. And, of course, sin came upon all men. For all have sinned, the Bible tells us. And the Bible says we are all sinners. And reminds us. Anytime we remind us of sin, it kind of puts us back on ground level. And we're all level at the cross of Jesus Christ. Every one of us needs cleanliness. Each one of us need to have God to clean us from our sins. Every one of us needs someone to come and be our Savior. Savior from what? Savior from sin. To get us through. And of course, that's what Jesus Christ was. So the mothers were ceremonial defiled by the birth of a child. She was giving birth, and because of giving the birth of that child, the Bible says all of us are sinners. She was defiled by that. And she continued the ceremony unclean for 33 days, totaling 40 days. In the event the daughter was born, of course, 14 days and 66 days duration of the uncleanness of that of the child. Reminding again that sin has passed upon all men, all of sin. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1 through 8, God made provision for the removal of that ceremonial uncleanness and the restoration of the mother and full fellowship of the family and full fellowship of the community. And that was only by the blood. And, of course, only the blood can remove uncleanness. And God requires a burnt offering, an offering, a sin offering, a blood offering for the remedy of the uncleanness. And the law was given to remind every couple that produce offsprings that the Adamic sin passed from one generation to another. Sin is transferred from one man to another in birth and receives the fallen nature of the first man was born. When you read Matthew's gospel, he tells of the visit of the Magi, the gifts of gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. Then he tells of their flight to Egypt. Later he tells about their going to returning to Nazareth. And then we pick up the story. He's 12 years old, and Luke reports him as a missing child. Amen. Amber alert. Amen. Missing. Amen. And they can't find him. And they look. 3 days they look for him. I don't know about you, but if you have a 12-year-old boy that's missing for 3 days, you know he's in trouble. Amen. And any 12-year-olds here today? Are you 12? Would you stand up, please? This is the age of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was missing. Turn around. Okay, that's enough. You can sit down. And that was the age of the Lord Jesus Christ, 12 years old. That's pretty young. That's pretty young. And this boy Jesus was quite a young man. He was found 3 days later in the temple, sitting there astonishing the doctors and the members of the temple. This boy Jesus awed these wise men of their day with his understanding and answered the question. Don't ever put down a 12-year-old. They know a lot. They know an awful lot. They know more than they let you think they know. Dr. Luke records that we are assured that these must have been a yearly trip to Jerusalem from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Because in verse 42 it says, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And the feast of the Passover celebration lasted 7 days. And from the 15th day of Nisan, which is their month, and is appointed for all to become to Jerusalem. Every Israelite was bound to be present, except for such as unable to perform the necessary journey. The sick, they were alleviated from that. The aged, they couldn't make it. And boys under 12 years old, as well as the blind, the deaf, the lunatic. That's why some of you never have to go. Were permitted to remain at home. At the beginning of the month of Nisan, the messengers were sent out from Jerusalem, from the temple, and dispatched in all parts of the 12 tribes. And remind the people the approaching festival that none might have ignorance to plead the excuse of their absence. So from Jerusalem, the temples would send out messengers and herald the coming of the Passover. It was a big deal. It was a great festival. A Jewish child, when he was 12 years old, was permitted, as a son of the law, they called him, to take part in the celebration of the sacred festival. Yes, he got to sing. He got to read the scriptures. According to Jewish customs, at a later time, a child was in his fifth year instructed in the law in the 10th, in the Mishnah, and in the 13th year was fully subjected to the obedience of the law. That was his responsibility. Their existence also no longer any reason that Jesus Christ should be absent from Judea. Archelaus, whom Joseph, his stepfather, had reason to fear, Archelaus had been banished by Augustus. And after his reign of 10 years. And women were by no means obliged to go to the feast. Yet the fact that Mary's accompanying her son was an occasion of this great first celebration. He grew, the Bible said, he waxed strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom, and grace of God was upon him. It's kind of interesting as you read the scripture, he was questioning the doctors. I know a lot of 12 years old that can question you. They have a lot of questions for you. They're learning. Hopefully you give them the right answers, amen, or send them to someone who will give them the right answers. But the Bible said he grew in wisdom, and he grew in stature. He grew in favor with men. I love that, amen. The Bible said that even a child is known by his doing, whether it be good or evil, amen. And sometimes there are some kids that just got some kind of wild hair in them. I don't know. You gotta kind of give it a permit or something, amen. But anyway, he grew in wisdom and stature and grew in favor with God and favor with men. The child grew. He became strong, physical development. He was filled with wisdom. This was referring to the intellectual attainment and customs each year to observe the feast of the Passover. And this particular Passover was of great significance to his household because this Jewish boy became a 12-year-old age. The Talmud said, at the age of puberty, he, through a special ceremony, was acknowledged as a son of the law. At this age, he was supposed to have learned enough to be sufficient mature for following the mandates of the law of God. May I encourage you, fathers, to work on your children, that when they get to be 12 years old, they can be sufficient and mature in following mandates of the law of God, that they would understand this Word of God, know that it's the Word of God and it's truth, and that's how they ought to live by it. I want to encourage you to do that. From now on, he would be expected to attend all the festivals of Jerusalem who attended the law was prescribed. He was taught that. And when his family came to the Passover, it was kind of interesting. They traveled in groups. Sometimes they traveled with neighbors. I don't know about you, but a 12-year-old boy traveling with his buddies and neighbors, man, that had to be a lot of fun and a lot of trouble. And they travel with their friends. They travel with their relatives. This week, my grandsons have had fun to being the cousins, amen. There's nothing like being with cousins, amen. And I was thinking a while back, one of my cousins, Diana Hewlett, wrote me, and she said, hey, I just thinking of you. You're my favorite cousin. And Diana and I were same age, and we used to do a lot of things together and laugh and giggle and dress up and all that kind of stuff, you know, and play house and all kinds of crazy stuff, you know. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's just great to be around cousin, get to know him, amen. And they would travel that way. And this was a big time. This was a great time. Good food, amen. And it was just a special time they got together, kind of like what you said. Right? Thank God this year is the first time for a long time all of our family were together, all the grandkids and everything. But what a wonderful time it is. These traveling together to furnish assistance, and sometimes somebody might get ill, and somebody could help them out, or somebody, or even a defense attack by some highwaymen. And they traveled together. They didn't go by themselves. They traveled together. And some would walk more leisurely than others, and some would go faster than others. You ever been on a trip up the mountains, or some people go faster than the other, and some people are pretty slow, amen. And the men usually traveled in one group, and the ladies traveled in a group. I'm sure that they gave all their recipes and told all the things that were going on in their house and everything was going on. And I'm sure the men talked about the football games and everything else. For one of the for one who had just honored by being the son of the law was a big deal. It was, man, it was better than a birthday party, you might. And to be honored by you, you're the son of the law now. And sometimes you'll see them on TV where they have the bar mitzvah, you know, and the children get to age. And it's a big party. They throw a huge party for them. Well, That is not extraordinary, but it shows such insight, attack special attention to the learned doctors, and that he manifests such facilities in answering these faculties, that he could answer the questions. And he questioned them with some, I'm sure the Lord God could certainly know some good questions to ask those guys. Amen. Get them to think. Amen. Been pretty neat to be out sitting in the corner just listen to it. Amen. Well, the Bible said in verse 47, everyone who heard him were amazed at his understanding. Boy, I hope to God our children at 12 years old have some good understanding. Amen. The learned doctors of the law seemed unable to answer his questions. And when they questioned him, he was able to answer them. Children, it just doesn't happen that your child knows the Bible. I was preaching in a church one time, and there's a man, I think there are 7 or 8 kids there, and mom and dad sitting there. When the pastor said, let's stand to pray, they all stood up, and they all bowed their heads, and they all put their hand together, and they prayed. Then they said, all right, let's take the psalm book. They all took a psalm book, and they all sang. Nobody's messing around. Nobody's laying on the psalm book on the pew to make sure, see if they can balance or not without falling down, you know. They weren't counting the number of the, what do you call it, it's in the ceiling tiles. They were singing. Then the pastor prayed. They all bowed their head again and prayed. And then the choir got up, and they sang. And they were quiet. They didn't mess around. And, boy, I was amazed. I kind of forgot what I was doing there. I was just watching these kids. Offering came by, they all had something, they put it in something, and the passed by, they didn't dip the plate, they were careful about it. Then the special music got up and sing, now quit counting them tiles. And the special music got up to sing, and they listened and quietly listened to the sing. And then they stood to read the scriptures, and you know what? They all had their Bible, and all of them turned, and the bigger ones were helping the little ones find the scripture verses. And then I got up to preach, and there wasn't a peep from them. After the service, I went down, and oh, by the way, during invitation time, they didn't get up and go to the bathroom. They just stood there. They were quiet, and I'm going like, man, this is cool. There's 8 of them. It looked like stair steps. And that's Planned Parenthood, amen. I said, wow, that's amazing. After service, I got the father's parents used to go to my church in Elkton, South Dakota. And so I knew him, and I said to him, I said, hey, I said, I'm amazed. He said, what's that? I said, your kid sat so well. I want to commend you. Well, he said, preacher, he says, let me tell you something. This just didn't happen. Every Sunday, After we have supper, we all go downstairs in our basement, and we've got our chairs all set up, and I pretend I'm the pastor, and we tell those children how they ought to sit, how they ought to pass the plate. And he said, we work on it every Saturday night, and we read the scripture to them. We explain to the scripture. One of those kids sat there, amen. They were trained. They were properly trained. Most people, you don't talk about church until you say, hurry up, get in the car, we're going to be late, preacher's going to be back. Dad's sitting up in the car. Come on. Jesus was taught. He was primed. And each of us need to be taught and primed. Verse 51 through 52 is interesting thoughts here, is that Jesus was lost in the hustle and bustle of the world. He's found in the temple. What with that? What do you mean you don't know where your kid is? That's our responsibility. Pull them apart a little bit. Your child is your responsibility. My kids used to say, Dad, don't you trust us? I said, God didn't tell me to trust you. My God told me to protect you. For the most part, I trust you. I trust you, but I don't trust the people you're with. Because they haven't been primed. They haven't been taught. parents, it's your responsibility to look after your children. Your responsibility that they should not be abandoned. They should always be watched. Even whether they're good with their good cousins. No, they're supposed to be watched. It's your responsibility to always watch them, always protect them. That's what God has given you, that you're responsible for. It won't be long, they'll be gone. 18, 20, if you're lucky. Sometimes 28, but anyway. It's your responsibility, they're your home. Your responsibility to watch over them. Can you imagine losing a child and for 12 days? I thought... you can go down to juvenile detention center, and there's a lot of kids' parents will tell you, well, I thought he was. I thought she was. And they get that dreaded call from the highway patrol. They get the dreaded call from the sheriff's office, this Great Falls PD, and say, we have your child. You know what the problem is? They thought. There's a difference between thinking and inspecting. Lord Jesus Christ was watched over. I'm surprised that they were not sure where he's at. And Jesus, the Bible said he was there. He was lost in the hustle and the bustle of the world. But he found what was right. He went to the temple, amen. I always wondered, if he was at the temple for 3 days, where did he stay at night? Ever think of that? How many parents today should have such a wonderful problem finding their kids that are lost, finding them at the church? What a blessing is that, amen. Sitting down and learning all they can of the wonders of God. Boy, I don't know about you, but that would certainly be the icing on top of the cake for me, that my child would be lost at the temple, amen. Well, Jesus returned with his parents, the Bible said, and he was obedient to them. Look at there in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it thou sought me? Would ye not that I must be about my Father's business? This statement definitely reveals Jesus' consciousness of his unique relationship with the Heavenly Father. I must be at my Father's business. Would to God our children are our Father's business. However, he still was subject to his earthly parents. Obedient was the characteristic of his life. That was his trait. He was obedient from infancy to his parent, the law, to the government, to his Heavenly Father, unto death. He was obedient. That was his trait. That was his suit. He was obedient. Boy, I don't know about you, but sure is nice to be around people that are obedient. Obedient to the law. Obedient to the Word of God. Amen. Are you obedient? Is that one of your traits? I'm obedient to the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord God, therefore I'm going to do it. Luke noted with respect of his 18 years which had passed in silence that Jesus developed intellectually. He developed with wisdom, physically, and in stature, and spiritually, in favor with God. Oh, I pray that I'm in favor with God. I just pray that I walk with God and seek God's wisdom constantly and begging God for help, that I would be spiritual. Secondly, he was socially in favor with men. I pray to God I'm in favor with men. I pray to God that I am careful the way I am. In my deportment with men, I'm careful about it. I got a Christmas card the other day, and I happy had $100 bill in it. Man, anybody's happy about that, amen. How many like those Christmas gifts? Man, $100 bill, man. And but the problem was, a week ago, that same person had sent me a $100 bill with Merry Christmas on it. I've been trying to call them. I've called them 3 or 4 times. I haven't got them. I know they're probably on vacation a little bit. I'm going to say, hey, do you know that you gave me $200? Most of y'all just cash it and say, well, hey, you know, finders keepers, losers weepers, amen. No, I don't want to be that way. I want to be socially, I want to be in favor with man. I want to be honest about my dealing. Now, of course, I'm hoping that he said, oh, just keep it. Because I've already spent it, amen. No, but I've still got my on my computer at home. But I just, you know, I want to be honest. I want to, when I say something, I want to do it. I don't want to be a liar. I want to be truthful. When I say something, I want to do it. I'm going to do everything I can. I'll do it until I have to die to do it. If I said I'm going to do it, or some way somehow, I'll have to say, hey, I'm sorry, I can't do this, but I sure want to do. The other day, I had an opportunity to go to do some training, and I couldn't do it. No way I could do it. And I called my friend up and I said, hey, I can't. He said, that's all right. We've talked about that before and I understand that. He said, I know you're a man of your word. Boy, doesn't that do something to you when someone says, you're a man of your word? And not only God was spiritually in favor with God and in favor with men socially, but God was well pleased in him. God was well pleased with him. And men were pleased with him too. Men did not withhold their admiring approval of his conduct. They liked to be around him. People like to be around you. You like to be around people always talking bad about other people. Yeah, it really makes me feel uncomfortable. You like to be around kids that talk bad about their dads and moms. Man, I don't like that. Even when I did some pretty rough things in my life, when guys that I was running with talked about their old man and old lady, that really made my milk curdle. I didn't like it. It just made me very uncomfortable. And then they were talking about their, quote-unquote, their friends and poking fun at them and laughing at them and look at that stupid thing he's wearing or that thing that she's wearing or whatever. You know, boy, I don't like that. You know, Jesus was not like that. You just felt like you were clean when you talked to Jesus, amen. You just felt like, whew, it's just good to be on Christ. May I challenge you as this young boy, Jesus Christ, at 12 years old, may I challenge you to live by the law? May I challenge you to be spiritual, in favor with God, and socially good, and you can be favor with men? And that God would be pleased with you and man would be pleased to be around you. Isn't that what it's really about? That's what it really is about. Man says something, he does it. Man says something, he's faithful, he's truthful. He says what he says and he does what he does. And it's the way he is, just kind of one of those guys that you just like to be around. And you can laugh and you don't have to suffer with their drama. Oh my goodness. You can just be, hey, you know what? It is what it is. I hope today that I challenge you today that you'd be more like Jesus Christ. And if a 12-year-old boy can do it, you can certainly do it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were a man, a good man. But you're also God, the Savior of mankind. And man will never leave this world and go to heaven without you, Lord Jesus. Because of your faithfulness to the law and to the Father and to the cross. Thank you, Lord God, that we can look at an open tomb today and say, he is not here, for he is risen. Thank you that we can say that you're coming again. Lord God, we can say we're listening for the trump. Dear God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts and make us more like you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the training that you had and the training that you give. May we live more like you. heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I am not saved. I'm not on my way to heaven, but I want to be." Would you pray for me this morning? Would you lift your hand? "Preacher, I'm just not saved. I'm not so sure I'm on my way to heaven." You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but well, there's a lot of things could be changed in my life if I was really honest and truthful to my Lord and God." Pray for me. God bless you. Yes. Amen. Maybe I'll talk to you dads for a second. Hey, you got a great responsibility to teach those children. Teach them to be young men and young ladies for the Lord Jesus Christ. The great responsibility you have. I pray that you do that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, let's all stand. You're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I want to know today." Why don't you come right now? You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've accepted Christ my personal Savior, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism that's down in the water and up out of the water." Why don't you do that today? That's the first step that God asks you to do. Do you know that? That's the first thing He asks you to do once you get saved. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, the next step is to follow Lord in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? You're today and you say, "Preacher, I'm a dad. I have a great responsibility on my shoulders." You better believe you do. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't end there, because after you have your children, then the grandkids start coming in. Well, we have a responsibility to live to the statutes of the Word of God. You're today and you say, "Preacher, you know, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time?" You're today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Come on. Let me show you from the Word of God. I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. Why don't you come and do what the Bible says?" You're today and say, "Preacher, you know, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve at. Why don't you come?" Now, Father, we ask you to help us as we go to our separate homes now, and Lord, have a time of food and refreshment and time of fellowship. And Lord God, bring us back tonight at 6, and may we enjoy ourselves as we come to church. God, please, I pray that you protect us out in this weather. Lord, look after and care for those that could not come today, Lord, because of their sickness and their health. Lord, would you raise them up? Thank you, Lord, for those who you have raised up, and praise the Lord for that. Lord, now give us a great day today, and may we always rejoice. And Lord, may we encourage our families to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.